Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune, Jay Posner, sports editor, my boss, Jay. Just as we expected, everybody, just as you all expected, the Padres just swept the St. Louis Cardinals after taking 2 of 3 from the Colorado Rockies. They did this without 5 position players, 4 of their regulars, 3 members of the core of their offense. I'm not sure what else there is to talk about since we all predicted this, Jay.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It seems like it was just sort of run-of-the-mill. You know, yesterday was quite a day. I'm not sure what was more run-of-the-mill for me watching, you know, the Liverpool goalkeeper scores in the 95th minute or the Padres sweep the Cardinals. I mean, you just kind of expect both of those things to happen. It was just a normal weekend, right?
I did see that, and I figured that at some point you would work some soccer into the Hot Lava Podcast. Yeah, that was you know, it was very impressive. I don't even know what is the most impressive part. The pitching keeps going as it has been, or players who, I mean, they're not even outside of Tucapita Marcano. We're not even talking about guys who are, you know, in the system. They've been there for a long time, and you expect them to be a part of the Padres. But what the Padres did is they went out and they got guys like John Andreoli, Patrick Kivlahan, 4 times like this, guys who've been in the majors, who can come in and fill in at a few different positions. And we're probably only going to need them 5 or 6 games, but you know what? Those could be 5 or 6 important games. I don't think that should be overlooked, what the Padres did here.
No, I don't either. And yet, at the same time, we did talk last week, in all seriousness, about guys that the regular guys were going to have to step up. And I'm looking at Saturday's box score. Yeah. You know, when they scored the 13 runs, Trent Grisham had 3 hits. Manny Machado had a hit, but it was a 2. He had 2 RBIs. Jake Cronenworth had 3 hits. Tommy Pham had a home run. Austin Nola had 3 hits and drove in 6. Those were the guys that were really delivering. The other guys, I mean, they, you know, O'Grady had a hit and an RBI. Ha-Seong Kim had a hit and an RBI. So those were sort of bonuses. But the key, and I think this happened in the other games as well, the key was most of the big hitting came from the guys like Friday night, the 3 guys at the top of the order. I thought it was a good move by Tingler to put Machado 2nd. And I give him a little bit of protection. The Cardinals' command of their pitching staff is so awful that I'm not sure. It was like we said, well, they're not going to give Manny anything to hit. They may not have been trying to give him anything to hit, but they never knew where the ball was going. So there it was, a couple of meatballs from Machado that he drove for RBIs, I think, on Friday. But that was big. Those guys,
yes,
those guys
came. And we did say that. And obviously they listened, because who knows what they would have done.
Of course.
If we had said that.
They would have had no idea what to do if they hadn't gotten their daily, weekly dose of hot lava. But that was what they needed, was those guys needed to come through and get some hits. And then anything else on top of that is just a bonus. And yesterday, how much credit goes to guys for walking? How much is just standing there taking pitches? But there were some good at bats. Guys fouled off some pitches, and there were some close takes. And
more,
you know,
yesterday,
sort of
Friday. Friday was like we could have walked.
Friday was unbelievable. 12 walks, 3 hit batters, and yet at the end of the game, it was still a game. You're like, geez, they still have a chance. The Cardinals came back to 5-4 in that game, and yesterday they did get the tying run. Cardinals again were down 4-2. And Trent Grisham, and we're talking about offense, but cannot overlook the catch that Trent Grisham made in the first inning yesterday. And, you know, sometimes it's like the whole thing with, you know, having the closer, or if you use your best reliever in the 7th inning or the 5th inning or whatever. Sometimes the biggest play of the game is made well before the 9th inning. And I thought yesterday that was the case. If it's 4-0, it's kind of like, boy, I don't know what's going to happen here. And Grisham made a very good play. You kind of saw the difference in the Padres' big inning, where I think it was Harrison Bader in center field had a chance to make somewhat similar catch and just missed. That would have changed that inning quite a bit. So the Padres again made a couple other. Marcano with a great diving stop yesterday to create a double play. Now, of course, you're not going to get a double play if it wasn't Yadier Molina running, but still, they
made the
he
stop.
Reacted. He got the out at second base, which was big. The out at first, again, was a bonus because of Molina, but those were all good plays, big plays, you know, that were made. I mean, O'Grady had a big hit the other day in Colorado. So
Castillo had a single. Yep.
Yeah. Castillo had his first hit. Ryan Weathers had his as well, but Castillo got a big hit in that fourth inning yesterday for the fourth run. And you could tell looking at him on first base, man, he was trying not to have like the biggest smile in the world, but it obviously means so much to these guys when they come up and get their first hit. And it's a big situation. And I'm sure part of it also is he knows he's on this team where guys are counting on him. And, you know, he's able to now look Manny Machado and Trent Grisham and Eric Hosmer and these guys. And well, I guess Eric Hosmer is not around quite yet, but he's able to look the veterans now in the eye, and he knows that he's contributing well. So it was all around. It was very good, but all of it, again, to me, the biggest thing of all is the pitching, the fact that they continue to get tremendous pitching from just about everybody that goes out to the mound. Ryan Weathers righted himself last night after the big play from Grisham. Lamet, I'm sure we'll talk about today. You know, Craig Stammen continues to be everything Padre fans think he's not, or at least a segment of Padre fans. I shouldn't say Padre fans. A segment of Padre fans think that he's not. He's been outstanding in these last few weeks, and really most of the season. I think he's had a couple bad outings, but
that's his MO.
And so he's been really good. You know, Austin Adams, one pitch last night. Pagan, I thought, looked much better last night. So, again, a total team effort, as the cliche would go.
Even though, and it's an absolutely legitimate theme to this season, even though the starters need to go deeper, they have fulfilled my favorite cliche, and that is they've kept them in games. Even when they've gone, say, three innings, Joe Musgrove that day at Dodger Stadium went three innings. But, man, they left the bases loaded twice. You know, it's been very odd. 4 and 5 inning outings where they only allow 2 runs. They're just throwing too many pitches, or, you know, there've been injury scares, whatever. But even the starters who need to shoulder more of the weight have done a really good job, at least, of not having the Padres out of games.
So, and maybe, you know, they've played 41 games now. So we're a quarter of the way through the season. I don't know if it's sustainable to do what they're doing from a pitching standpoint for an entire season where you're rotating all these different guys and you've got 3-inning starts here and 4-inning starts there, but they've taken advantage of it. And, you know, by playing well recently, they're 24-17. I think they're on pace to win, 94, 95 games.
94.
Right. And
just happened to look that up last night. Yep.
Okay. So that would be pretty good if that's what they finished with. So maybe, again, we don't know if it's sustainable. I guess we don't know if it's not either. Right. Because we haven't seen it.
I think it's not. And here's why. And I've been meaning to write about it, about both their plan to, they have, kept the relievers really kind of their portions are small and they're purposely holding guys back. But that means things have gone really well. I mean, there's three categories that a reliever's in, and that is he's good to go. He can go. We're going to avoid him today at all costs. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's the he can go and we're going to avoid him. Well, sometimes the way the game goes, you just can't not pitch a guy. Well, the Padres have been able to, both through the effort of Jace Tingler and his pitching coaches and the circumstances of the game, stay away from those guys, not pitching guys as many back-to-backs. Also, they had those 2 days off a couple weeks ago. They had 2 days off this past week. They have a day off this week. Starting Friday, 20 games in 20 days.
Right.
There's only so much you can control at that point. And that's where the starters need to start going 6 and 7 innings fairly regularly. They have 8 quality starts, which I haven't looked in a couple days. That might be the fewest in the majors now. It was the second fewest. I think the Marlins had 7. I could have the wrong team, but I know
some of those are by design, obviously. I mean,
that's right. But the fact is they're still not going 6 innings, whatever it is.
Exactly. But a lot of them are not. I mean, the guys like Snell and Musgrove, and now, I mean, Paddock, I think you can give him an excuse because he was out for 12 days. He's had a couple starts. I mean, I know you would have wanted at least another inning out of him the other night, but it almost seemed like from the first batter, when Tommy Edman seemed determined to give everyone in the stands a ball, you know, that was going to be hard for him to do. But you're right. Paddock and Snell and Musgrove need to be more six inning guys than four inning guys.
And Cole Hamels when they sign him. So, anyway, because hey, we're getting to that point where, man, if the starters don't step up, they're going to have to add someone. And maybe that's Mackenzie Gore, you know, because he is so lights out for El Paso or something. But it is still like the theme of the season. And so let's use that as a segue to Denelson Lamet. I don't know what you thought, Jay. I thought that made all the sense in the world that we had sort of forecasted a day or so earlier. But Ryan Weathers is stretched out. Hey, let's give Ryan Weathers a start. Let him go. And let's see what this does for Denelson Lamet to not only come out of the bullpen throwing gas, you know, but maybe throw a little more often under those circumstances and start to build up the confidence in his arm.
No, and he certainly had plenty of time to get ready because the bottom of the fourth inning took about an hour to play. So he was definitely loose by the time he came in. And I thought it was a great move to do it at that point. I'm sure the idea, if you would have asked them before the game, and they would have been straight with you, they would have said, we'd love to get three innings
out of him.
Because, in fact, when he came in, I even said, I'm sure what they hope here is he, especially after the first inning, which he really looked great in that inning. The one fastball for the strikeout, I think, on Moroff was 98 and really had life to that pitch. And I thought, wow, if he could get three innings here, that now you're into the eighth before you even have to go to your relievers here. And you can throw almost anyone in the eighth inning to get to Melanson in the ninth. So the second inning was a little bit different. I thought his velocity was down more in the 95 range than the 96, 97 range. Slider, it was hard from where I was sitting to tell like sort of what kind of command he had or how it looked or anything. Oh. Like that.
The command was off, the velocity was off, the sharpness of the slider was off. Those two walks precluded him from going any further, probably.
But assuming as always that he comes out of it well, maybe that is a role that's good for him, because you know, you don't have to, if Weathers can build up a little bit more, which I think there's no reason that he can't. I mean, we saw him go 89 pitches in the one start. If he can get back to that point and he can start giving you five, maybe even six, why not use Lamet as sort of a long guy? I mean, we've seen they're going to need a quote long guy. Right now it's Miguel Diaz is one of those guys. You know, Craig Stammen can sometimes give you a couple innings,
but Chris Matt.
Chris Matt, but
it would be great.
To me, Chris Matt is down on the list of guys that I'd want to see in, at least in games where they're sort of in having a chance for it. But I'd certainly rather have Lamet in the game than Chris Matt.
I just wonder how long it is until they put him back in there, and how long you can ride Weathers. If Weathers is good, he's going to run out of innings pretty soon.
Yeah. So no, you're right. You're right. But maybe by that point, then Lamet gets built up. Yep. I mean, there's different plans to go. Maybe by then Gore is ready or anything like that. But it's, again, we've got a long way to go. But that was an interesting way to use Lamet last night, and I wonder, you know, like you said, how many times they do that and how often can he do it? Does he need 4 days now between those innings? Does he need 2 days? Those are questions we don't have the answers to.
He would throw his bullpen on the third day, but since his bullpen now would be actually in a game, would he need a fourth day? Yes, yeah. it's a question.
So I think it just adds, you know, look, the more arms they can add, the more quality arms they can add, obviously the better off they are. And he is certainly a quality arm when he's right. And we saw that particularly in the first inning last night that he pitched.
Give them a lot of credit here. As I wrote in the newsletter, they're rewriting the manual on how to build a guy back up after whatever it was, injury scare, whatever it was with Lamet.
Right.
And they're doing it. This isn't, you remember when he came back in 2019 from Tommy John surgery, every time he pitched, the most important thing was that Denelson Lamet was pitching. They weren't in the playoff race and they knew it. Now, Now, the most important thing is the result. Oh, and also having Denelson Lamet be healthy and get stronger and be effective. But we want him to do that also so that we can win. This is a really fascinating thing that they're doing. And I and so that's just a little like little subplot here in this very long season. It'll be interesting to see what Mackenzie Gore does in his next start. I know everybody's super interested in that. He was okay, I guess. But the Padres are insistent. He will be a pitcher that can help a playoff team when we call him up. Asterisk. If we really super bad need him, we will call him up too.
Right, right. I mean, right now they have, when everybody is on, and I think what we've seen out of Paddock the last two games that he's been back, he certainly qualifies in this category, and with Weathers pitching well, and then the three veterans, I mean, they have five starters at this point, right, plus Lamet. So there's no need to rush Mackenzie Gore up here. Right. And I know everybody wants to see him, including myself, but he's still really young and really inexperienced at the high levels of the minors. And I don't think everybody can be Ryan Weathers and, jump into that situation and be good. And maybe Gore would be doing the same thing. But obviously they thought Weathers was advanced enough to make the jump sort of a year ahead. And they were right. I mean, he looks like a guy who has been around for a few years, except for when you look at him, because he just looks so young.
He really does. He really, really does. And yeah. It's actually kind of sweet, and I'm not giving anything away. I think there's still fans in the stands. He obviously has himself a lady friend that he visits with after games. And it's like, these two are probably, 2.5 years out of high school down there visiting on a major. This is a major league pitcher. And it, you can just see by the body language. You know, I've got sons that are barely older than him. And you just see, my gosh, this is a child.
Yeah.
Who is going out and yesterday got 9 straight outs, obviously helped by Trent Grisham. I don't care who you are. If you're a pitcher who gets rocked for 4 runs in the first inning, and now you've got a guy on second, heck, if that ball gets past Grisham, maybe he's on third.
Right.
And, but so he gets help there. Then there's an error by Ha-Sung Kim. It's the first runner, the first batter of the second gets on. And then Ryan Weathers never stops throwing strikes and attacking hitters and retires 9 straight. It's super, super impressive.
It's funny. I was thinking during the game, like when the first inning was going on and he'd already given up 4 hits and then I was thinking, well, you know, I was thinking what were we going to say about him on here? And I was thinking, you know, guy, and this is the same thing with a guy like Melanson. Sooner or later, guys are going to get hit. Guys are going to give up runs. And someone like Weathers, who's 21 years old, it's kind of understandable that he's not going to be fantastic in every outing. And you wouldn't say it was fantastic yesterday, but the way he rebounded from the first inning was fantastic.
Yes.
And that shows you something right there about his makeup that he was able to do that.
So the Rockies come to town, and you're going to see two of the same pitchers, John Gray and Austin Gomber, both of them fairly effective. John Gray is always really good against the Padres.
Really? He's a good pitcher.
He is a very good pitcher. Now, he has bouts of wildness. Yeah. He got charged with some runs last time Victor Caratini's grand slam, but he also lost control over his last inning plus. And then you've got Austin Gomber, who was really good for, 5 1/3, also then lost a little bit of control. And then was it Chichi Gonzalez on against Joe Musgrove? So it's Darvish, Gray, Snell, Gomber, and Musgrove Gonzalez on Wednesday. The Rockies have the worst record in the National League. Padres have the second best record. Padres took 2 of 3, could have taken 3 of 3. Of course, could have lost 2 of 3 too. This is one where you go, all right, hey, they could get on a roll here. But what do we know? We certainly didn't predict the sweep. What's going to happen here? What's more important here, Jay? We should, guys coming back.
We should definitely be out of the prediction business, as I guess everybody should be after this past weekend. Interesting. I was just looking at Chichi Gonzalez. He was the number one pick of the Texas Rangers back in 2013. So probably some people in the Padre organization that would be pretty familiar
Oh, he'll be a Padre soon then. Okay. All right.
So, but career 5 ERA in 45 games. So, you know, has not had the best of careers, but yeah, I mean, the Rockies aren't any good, but they just, you know, they battered the Reds 2 straight games after the Padres left Denver last week, and then had a chance to win the series yesterday. I think they had a 6-1 lead going to the 8th inning and ended up giving up 6 runs in the last 2 innings. So you just, as always with the Rockies, you never know. Their starters sometimes aren't so bad, but you get into that bullpen and just about anything can happen. And the interesting thing for the Padres now is we would expect to see Profar and Mateo back on the roster before Tuesday's game, if we're doing the calculations correct. And then Hosmer would be able to come back for the Wednesday game. Do I have that correct?
That is correct. Based on the information that is out there, and Jace Tingler is now his default is, I don't know. Okay. But based on the information that we have, the tests for Fernando Tatis Jr. came back late Monday. That means that Jorge Mateo, Fernando Tatis Jr. and Jurickson Profar were not isolating on Monday. The isolation would begin after that. And so Tuesday, that makes with the 7 days, and that they needed 2 days of being able to get negative tests. As long as Profar and Mateo have tested negative, they would be able to come back Tuesday. Hosmer, who then was pulled from Tuesday's game, began his isolation after that, would be able to come back before Wednesday's game. And then with the off day Thursday, provided that they test negative, you have Fernando Tatis Jr. for Friday's game and Will Myers for Saturday's. Again, these are provided they test negative.
Right. Who are you going to take off this roster, Kevin? I mean, come on. Look at what these guys are doing. How are you going to break up the band?
I would say the only question is if Tucapita Marcano and Brian O'Grady continue to play, does one of them stay? But this has been very, very interesting. It's like you said, Jay, it's not like any of them have raked. It's not like any of them came up and are 12 for 14 or something. I think that we're pretty we know what's going to happen here. Look,
I think the other night when Caratini and Nola were both in the starting lineup, which I thought was interesting move. I think that was Saturday. The entire bench, I believe, had started the week in El Paso. I think all 4 guys were Chihuahuas as of like Monday night. And
that was
the bench in a game where they won 13-3.
I don't think that the 2018 Padres were that had that glaring of a segment of their roster had just been in El Paso or Tacoma, wherever it was that they came from. That honestly, that's why going into Friday's game, I don't want to say depressed, but it's like, I've become accustomed to covering a team that has a certain level of player where, when you get to the number 6 hitter, it's still Will Myers. And, Jurickson Profar, who's struggling a little bit at the plate, but he's, batting 7th or 8th.
Tommy, now it was against the Cardinals, the team he hits, but Tommy Pham was batting cleanup. So
Brian O'Grady was in the 5 spot for one game. So
yeah, I know.
And nothing against these guys. Hey, look, these are guys who played in the majors.
Hey, they're major league players. I mean, yes, there's that. But, like you said, they're not Eric Hosmer and Will Myers and Tatis and
Profar. They're holes in the lineup and especially now playing National League ball. You get to the number 8 hitter and it's Patrick Kivlahan. Unless you're Kwang Young Kim, who absolutely lost his mind in the 4th inning yesterday, you're thinking, all right. Pirates took 2 or 3 from the Giants. Let's just remember that. This is baseball. The reason the Padres are a half game back is because they swept the Cardinals, but the Pirates took the first 2 of 3 against the Giants.
Right. Real quick before we go, I didn't realize this was a thing because I was at the game. Wasn't watching TV. Don't know if they made a thing of it on TV. It seemed to be a thing on Twitter this morning. The Manny Machado play at second base. Are we supposed to be upset about that? Was that
Are we supposed to be as podcasters, as members of the talk establishment? Are we supposed to make a big deal of it, Jay? I wrote about it in the newsletter. I thought at the time, I wonder what's going to happen. No, that's what was he supposed to do right there? Run him over? Tommy Edman was in the baseline. Now, I think it was a heady play by Manny Machado. He didn't run out of the way. He stayed where he was, prevented the double play from happening, and the umpires didn't even get together to think about it. It obviously got in that Kim's head. He was like he lost his mind about it.
He kept pointing at it, but Schilt didn't even come out to talk about it. They obviously didn't think anything about it. And I just wonder, is it one of those things, if Jake Cronenworth had done that, would anybody even be talking about it? And the answer is probably not.
Yeah. Great point right there. I hear about it all the time. I'll be in other press boxes and Manny Machado doesn't run out a ball, a fly ball or a routine grounder to second. And there's muttering or, you know, like almost like I told you, there he is again.
Right.
There is a bias against Manny Machado that some of it may be well earned, but that play yesterday was similar to some other plays that perhaps crossed the line earlier in his career when he was younger.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's a baseball player who wants to win. Does it get a little off color sometimes? Okay. That's the guy I want on my team. Okay. I'm not saying I want the guy who steps on the first baseman's foot. I'm just saying the guy that was, he gets out of the way of that guy. He's polite and says, "Hey, Tommy, there's first base yesterday," and runs toward the grass. There's a double play probably.
Yeah. And then then he didn't hustle. So
he didn't hustle. Also, man, he hustled Nolan Arenado right into an error yesterday. Yes, he did. See, if you notice that, by the way, that was a ball deep to third base. Even though it was Nolan Arenado over there, Manny sprinted to first base.
Right.
Had he hit that ball to the second baseman at 100 miles an hour, Manny would not have sprinted to first base because mm-hmm. Manny wants to play 158 games this year. There you go. By the way, Trent Grisham could have had a triple or an inside the park home run yesterday on what turned out to be a double, but he was holding his bat basically and walking to first base because he thought that he was going to be out on that double. No one, right. I don't know that anyone noticed because it was Trent Grisham and not Manny Machado. There we go. All right, we talked about it.
There you go. And by the way, that's not a double. That's an error on the left fielder. I know it's never scored. I know it's never scored that way. That's an error. The guy should have caught the ball. He didn't catch the ball. That means it's an error. There wasn't sun in his eyes. There wasn't clouds in his eyes. He just blew the
play. I want to tell you something.
It happens. People make. We all make mistakes. He made a mistake on that play.
He made a mistake on the proverbial, those are tough, they're hit right at you, on the line drive. I know that you are not saying anything about the particular official score yesterday. You're talking about the philosophy there. Correct. I'm going to tell you, if anyone has a problem with the official scores in San Diego, it's because you haven't been paying attention when the Padres are elsewhere. Like, I just got back from Colorado where I know that Nolan Arenado is phenomenal. I know that Trevor Story is a good shortstop, but they would have to steal someone's wallet to get an error in Colorado. Those two, it's absolutely unbelievable. So,
no, I thought the two errors last night that were credited, one to Kim and one to Arenado, I think there were some scorers who would have said, though, that's a hit, especially the Kim play because he dove.
Absolutely.
And I know there's this thing, oh, if you dive, I remember somebody told me a couple of years ago, oh, they dive, you never get an error when you dive. Well, Kim dove, he got up, he had plenty of time to make the play, and he made a poor throw. So
it's a very sober decision made there.
Yeah, I thought both decisions were very good on that one. And I understand it wasn't the official scorer who called that a double. That's sort of the baseball rule. But anyway,
I just use that as a chance to go off about the Rockies. Sorry, Jay. It is truly incredible how
we didn't even get into the umpires at all on this podcast.
Hey, what were they supposed to do? Even Mike Schilt said, we felt some of those were strikes, but when the rest of your pitches are nowhere near the zone, you're probably not going to get borderline calls, okay?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you before the Mariners. We'll probably do that podcast on Thursday before and give you plenty of time to kind of get ready to soak in all that will be the Padres-Mariners over the weekend. Thank you.